Hello, and thank you for listening to Renewables, a podcast by BioStar, which aims to explore the current and future energy landscape in America.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Renewables. I'm your host, David Smart, and very excited to have Anjali Mahadevia here with us today. She leads business development for Future, a really interesting company that I've really enjoyed learning about. So Anjali, thank you so much for making the time. As always, we just start off with, tell us about your background and what you've been up to and how you ultimately came to work at Future.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's great to be here, David. Thanks for having me on. So a bit about my background. I originally studied economics, marketing, and operations management at the Wharton School of Business. And I felt like in college, I was sort of guided on this general path of go into finance or go into consulting. And I actually did neither. And I became a teacher. So I joined Teach for America, where I taught high school math in South Central Los Angeles for about 3 years. I taught 9th and 11th grade math, and it was an incredibly eye-opening experience looking at the different equity gaps amongst the students I was teaching, and also just recognizing that students that come from traumatic backgrounds do not process learning and information the same. So, when you're a teacher in those types of environments, scaffolding is really important. Celebrating small wins, building confidence was a really big part of the job that I did. And it was honestly just very eye-opening and rewarding. And so when COVID hit, I was kind of on the fence. I was like, well, you know, what do I want to do next? I want to do something with macro level impact. What does that look like? And so I actually started a climate company called Amplify with two of my co-founders, really to address the plastic waste problem and how one of the greatest vehicles to combat plastic waste is corporate action and corporate intervention. But a lot of corporations don't have necessarily the tools for actual reduction. It's sort of like, oh yeah, let's just offset our entire footprint rather than take steps to actually reduce the amount of plastics created. And so in about August or so of last year, we sold that company and I got to learn about a new company called Future. And Future was this platform with Visa that, you know, was rewarding individuals for climate friendly behaviors. It was all about consumer activism. How do we inspire behavior change? How do we get people to change the way that they behave towards the green economy so that we can collectively move as a society towards a safer and more green planet? So it's really about how do we inspire people? And that was so fascinating to me. And I love this idea of distributing rewards because a lot of that ties into environmental justice, sort of this idea that how do you reward people for actions that they're already doing to also close the wealth gap and to say thank you to individuals for doing things like riding the bus or taking a metro or going thrift shopping. And so the way that our platform kind of works is we reward any action that reduces carbon, whether that's sustainable shopping, sustainable transport, sustainable eating, taking electric rideshare, switching to an electric vehicle, shopping from sustainable brands, just really anything across the whole gamut of the green economy. And so that's what we're in the business of. And that's why I joined a Future.
Excellent. And quickly, I would say thank you for your service. We all typically say that to folks in the military, which, of course, I appreciate their service the most. But I think teachers, and my wife's a nurse, I actually think nurses should be included in there as well. But such an important thing. Really cool you did Teach for America. I actually don't think I knew that coming in to this episode. So thank you for that. And I have a couple of friends who took a similar path, and really interesting the doors it opened for them. And as you put it, you know, sort of the lessons I learned, it was, I know, very eye-opening. So thank you for doing that. We need more good teachers, especially in some of those, what I'll call underserved communities. So you kind of touched on what Future does, which is why we're here. More cash, less carbon. That's what it says on your website. Tell us exactly how it works and like what the platform feels like from a user experience.
Absolutely. So you just said it. It's more cash, less carbon. How do we reward behaviors where you are actually doing good for the planet? I think when we think about sustainability, a lot of people think about sustainability as something that's not accessible. Like, oh gosh, like being sustainable is so expensive or it's so inconvenient and things like that, versus we want to make it feel easy to be sustainable and feel easy to reduce carbon in your everyday life. So the way that our platform works, anytime you do a green action, you get rewarded. So you get points. And then you also get to track your carbon impact. So for example, if you ride the bus every day for a week, or if you, you know, go thrift shopping or switch, or you know, take an Uber electric versus a regular Uber, you can track how much carbon you're reducing just by small changes in your everyday life. And the idea of Future is to make everything simple. So it's not doing grand things like, you know, not everybody needs to buy a heat pump for their house, but we want to say, like, how can we make small steps in our everyday lives to move towards a greener world and collectively. I think the stat is about 63% of carbon emissions globally come from household emissions. So it comes from us as individuals. There's 8 billion people on this planet. We're all emitting carbon every day. And it's kind of like this idea that we need to do something to switch. Yeah, like Tesla can create all these electric vehicles, but if no one's buying them, what difference does it make? And so it's, how do we bridge that gap? How do we inspire people collectively to move towards these greener choices? So the way that it works is it's a rewards card. So you get a rewards card, you sign up. It's kind of like Cash App for the planet. It's not a credit card. And then once you start doing everyday actions, you can link your bank account and spend it anywhere that you're usually spending it. And then you get those rewards for those green choices. Also notable to say that we pay $90 for every ton of carbon an individual reduces. So it's kind of like this idea that we're putting a price on carbon where, you know, David, if I asked you to do a handstand right now, you'd probably say no. But if I told you I'd pay you $100 to do a handstand, maybe you'd do the handstand. So it's this idea that we want to reward individuals for doing good. So it's good for the planet and good for your wallet.
I would probably do the handstand for 90.
Wow. Nice.
So bad joke. It sounds like you have partners who sort of promote, okay, my product is sustainable through your platform and you should buy it because it's sustainable and you might need it anyways or something like it. And then is there also a concept where I can log sort of my own activities that might not result, like you mentioned, riding the bus? Do I log that or does it automatically know when I charge my card the bus fee that I'm being sustainable?
Yeah, absolutely. So the process on the front end is completely seamless. So the second that you ride the bus, our system registers this as a green purchase. And so because of that, you don't have to log anything. You just go about your everyday, you get your rewards and you can see how much carbon impact you're tracking. And then all of that, you know, identification really is cool. Done on the back end. We do have, so how do we partner with brands? So we're launching pilots across the US. So first of all, we have a sustainable marketplace. So there's about 50,000 brands in that qualify for a reward. So if you go to these brands, you will get a reward. There's about 17,000 consignment and thrift shops, a part of that 50,000. Also part of that 50,000, you're talking about, you know, vegan food. Anytime you eat vegan, you're reducing carbon. So you should get rewarded. Anytime you get oat milk, anytime you shop at a sustainable company, like Allbirds, for example, you're getting cash back. Adidas, Parley shoes, Parley for the Ocean shoes. So stuff like that, we're promoting sort of the work that brands are doing on a product level that are more sustainable. So we can say, hey, this company is doing a great job. Here's a great product that is reducing carbon in the environment. You will get a reward for choosing to buy this. And we will also track the resulting carbon impact. And so that's kind of like one of the ways that we partner with brands. Another ways is we have started now working with employees. So we're seeing that, you know, there's a lot of companies out there that want to drive sustainability. One statistic that I heard recently is 26% of the workforce that is currently, 26% of our current workforce is Gen Zers. And Gen Zers, more than any other generation, care about climate, where 42% have said that they will leave a job if it feels like my company does not care about the climate. or is producing excess waste. And so there is a lot of friction that we're seeing just from like the employment sector. And so for companies, it's becoming increasingly important to drive a internal culture around sustainability, around giving, around working towards something greater than, you know, than the individuals. And so part of what we're doing now is we're rolling out employee rewards for climate friendly behaviors, and we're hosting it in the form of competition. So now the most sustainable employee, so the employee to reduce the most carbon in their everyday lives, gets a special prize. And so we started rolling this out and piloting this with companies. It has been a huge success so far. I would say the most exciting aspect of what we're doing is the competition. So employees get to compete for who's reducing the most carbon in their daily lives. They can see it online. They can see a leaderboard where they're like, oh yeah, we're beating Jim today. Like, you know, in marketing, let's keep going. And so you can have department level or individual level. And it's a great way to build culture and foster excitement around topics that are so important to everybody. And yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. And it's, you kind of mentioned it earlier, but it is a little, can be feel daunting. I think you see, private jet travel, and you see emissions from China, and you see emissions from, you know, wherever, and you sort of feel like, what can I really do as an individual? Am I really, but as you, you know, put it, sort of putting a price on carbon and then looking at the activities of millions of people instead of just one person, it really adds up and makes such a huge difference. So Really, interesting. You have a new rewards program in New York City. Tell us a little bit about that.
So in New York City, we decided to offer free subway rides in the month of December to all New Yorkers on the New York MTA. And that was one of our most successful campaigns, I would say. One, because we're providing a real value. You get to travel for free anytime you take the New York Metro. That's very exciting. And then on top of that, you're getting cash back. So we're seeing all this engagement from all of these riders. And that's just like one aspect of how we contribute value in the green ecosystem. We then started launching a loyalty program. So whenever riders take the New York MTA 12 times or more per week, we'd administer a $5 reward. So it's kind of like a thank you for being loyal to the transit. And so that has been something we've been rolling out, and that has been very exciting to see sort of that engagement from our users.
Very cool. Congratulations. That's really interesting. And if you're riding the Metro every day, you may as well ride for free, right? Okay. And you've launched future coins. Tell us, what are future coins?
Yeah. So as part of our app, we are essentially gamifying sustainability so you can complete missions. So missions are something like, you know, go thrift shopping or choose to take an Uber electric versus a regular Uber, or, you know, switch to a lower carbon utility for your home. These are all examples of missions. So like lower your gas usage. Some are very simple. You can do it very fast. Some are more extensive. So for example, you know, you can get an electric vehicle. That could be a mission that you could get. So it's anywhere in the range of like, you know, refill a bottle with water and take a picture and show us. And so when you complete those actions or those missions, you work your way to earning a future coin. A future coin is redeemable for starting at $90 per coin. And so that's sort of how we administer the $90 of reward. And that's where you can also track and see, oh, this is how much carbon I've reduced. You know, I'm on my way to a future coin. And so, yeah, once you reduce that ton, that's about $90. Just to put that in perspective, if you, for example, switch to a lower carbon utility in your home, you're saving about, I mean, you could save anywhere up to from like 3 to 10 tons per year of carbon. And so if you're getting $90 for each of those tons, that's very meaningful in forms of rewards for a lot of individuals.
Very cool. That's really interesting. I hadn't thought about it from the standpoint of your utility provider and in deregulated markets where you can, where you have choice. So that's really interesting. You mentioned the New York MTA. Tell our listeners and viewers about some of your other most notable partnerships.
Yeah. So one partnership that we're very excited about, so we're working in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina with Visa and United Way. United Way is one of the world's largest nonprofits. And We're essentially working with job seekers and lower income workers to provide free transit for 6 months. And then we test and sort of map out the economic implications of that, not only on the job seekers themselves, but on the region at large. So when we provide mobility and support in travel, does that improve quality of living? Does that reduce crime? Does that support, you know, is that a better support for folks in need? Does that drive commerce in local regions? And so we're kind of testing this out. I mentioned environmental justice is a very big aspect of what we do. Issues around climate disproportionately affect communities of color and underserved communities. And how do we bridge that gap and support those communities with our reward system? And so wealth building is something that's very important to us. One aspect of our sort of rewards platform that I didn't share already is that we offer 2.72% APY on all the cash that you have stored on your card. So even just loading your card, connecting your bank account, adding funds to your card, you are growing money at a rate that's faster than any alternative sort of debit, you know, your typical debit card on the market. And so that's exciting for us too, because we get to show one, this is a non-predatory form of rewards. There's no fees, there's no sort of interest on payments, but two, you can actually build wealth. And so we're seeing in a lot of the engagements that we're working in that users are really appreciative and grateful of that.
Absolutely. You know, we've talked in the past, over the course of a couple of years now on the show about today's consumer being more discerning. I think you touched on a little bit with Gen Z and sort of what's important to them. How do you think that is evolving? And to maybe answer my own question, is that why you think this product is working so well?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think with a lot of Gen Zers, two of the largest pain points in like daily mental life is financial anxiety and climate anxiety. And I think that our platform is uniquely positioned to support with both of those things. So how can we relieve climate anxiety, give you a sense of like, wow, in the last 2 months, you've planted the equivalent of 80 trees just from your everyday actions. That's very motivating. That's very optimistic. And at the same time, there's financial reward. So it's not just like, hey, great job, pat on the back, but you're actually getting meaningful rewards from making choices to support the planet. And I think that that is very revolutionary. I think from the workforce perspective, we're seeing this new trend and phenomenon happen called climate quitting, where individuals are essentially quitting their jobs because they don't feel like there is enough of an importance on climate. And so when we have these sort of competitions that drive, you know, culture around climate action and a spirit of like, yeah, let's reduce carbon as a company and walk the walk as much as we're talking the talk, that's very motivating to a lot of employees as well. And I will say that program, so the work that we're doing with employees, we're actually launching a big splash for Earth Month. So I don't know when this podcast is coming out, but for any businesses that are interested, we're doing Earth Month competitions for free. So you send a unique enrollment link to your employees and they get automatically onboarded to this competition. And you can just administer this. Every company that signs up gets a dashboard where they can see how their employees are doing. So it's a very low lift for companies, but it's something we're really excited about rolling out as April comes around the corner.
Yeah, we should be able to get this out for sure in April, maybe before. So we'll do our best.
No, that's
Yeah. My last question, just talk a little bit about, you lead business development at the company. Talk a little bit about your specific role and kind of what you do every day to help grow the platform.
Absolutely. So I think partnerships and distribution are very big to growing the platform. And so we are launching essentially pilots across the United States with local municipality leaders to say, hey, how can we inspire and nudge your residents towards greener choices every day? We're piloting with transit authorities. So one of the biggest problems that we've seen since COVID is that ridership on transit is at an all-time low. And on average, 25% of transit revenue comes from fair income that they're getting from riders. Mm-hmm. And so if we're seeing a huge decrease in the number of riderships, that means that a lot of transit agencies are in trouble. And so as part of the pilots, like what we did in New York, where we're saying, hey, let's get free rides. We had 100,000 rides completed in just a month with our platform, which was very meaningful. Very cool. And so if we can help support transit agencies bring riders back, that's very important for us as well. For business development, we're looking for mutually beneficial partnerships where we can provide a need. So inspiring behavior change, getting users to, you know, take the Metro more, increase mobility, which then has implications with local businesses in the area. That's very meaningful for us. And for us, like, what works best is when we have distribution and we can reach more users. So if both of those things are happening, that's a successful partnership. And we're doing that, like I said, with local city governments, with transit transit agencies, with corporations, and also with universities. We're seeing a lot of engagement from students on our platform because of this sort of desire to give back to the planet and desire to contribute something good. I've heard from so many people that it's like up to the next generation to fix climate change. Like, you know, the future is literally in our hands.
Very cool. Well, you have so many different ways that you can make an impact in your business. That's what I think is really neat. And I love the platform. I love what you're doing. I'll be logging in and using it, and I'll send you some feedback. I look forward to using it more than what I've seen kind of online in preparation for this episode. I'm very, very grateful for you coming on and talking more about future. Our listeners and viewers, I'm sure, will enjoy the episode. It's been a pleasure to meet you. And last thing, how can our listeners and viewers find you or more information about future online?
Absolutely. So our website is future.green. You can find us online on Instagram, Future Green. That's how you could do it. David, one question for you is, I would love to learn who are the typical users on your platform, and that way I can guide sort of a more direct call to action based off that. Who listens to these podcasts?
Listeners and viewers. Yeah, I think that's a good question. Everyone who's listening and viewing, send me a message on LinkedIn and tell me what you do. I think it's mostly folks. That's probably at least 60% people that are sort of in our business, energy related development business. And then I think there's, you know, maybe 40%, maybe a little less, who are just kind of everyday folks that are interested in the topics and renewable energy and sustainability. And it's kind of a healthy mixture, but we can only see so much, from a demographic standpoint, from kind of behind the curtain.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I would say in that case, I would add that, you know, one of the biggest, as part of our effort to move individuals towards the green economy, we do work with a lot of renewable companies and utility companies that are trying to inspire more residents to switch to community solar or use a lower carbon utility to power their homes. And so the way that we do that is through our rewards. And so any sort of energy company could come to us and say, hey, we want to start a mission with you guys to get more users onto our lower carbon utility, because this is great for the planet, great for the environment. And that's a partnership that we could definitely set up. So would invite any very folks in your audience to do that. And I can leave my email with you, David, so that if anyone is interested, they can reach out. It's just anjali@future.green. A-N-J-A-L-I. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll put the website and your email in the show notes so people can, they'll be one click away. And I really appreciate you sharing that. That's really interesting. The concept of switching utility providers and then being able to get $90 a ton back from you could have a pretty good impact on your utility bill. So I like that one. Anjali, thank you so much. Pleasure to meet you and learn more about Future. Thank you very much to all of our listeners and viewers for tuning in week after week. You make it possible. We appreciate you. Make sure and click that follow button if you haven't already, wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm your host, David Smart, and this is another episode of Renewables.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Renewables, a podcast by BioStar, which aims to explore the current and future energy landscape in America.